The Ford F-150 truck helps you get the job done in the smartest way possible. New features like the available Pro Access tailgate improves access to bed and cargo, including when towing a trailer, so it's easier to load in tight spaces. Tough this smart can only be called F-150. Find your local Ford dealer at Ford.com. Pro Access tailgate available starting spring 2024. See owner's manual for important operating instructions.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
What's going on, guys? We are back with the podcast edition of Busted Open. I'm your host, the world's strongest man, and the innovator of violence joins me, Mr. Tommy Dreamer.
In the first show of 2021 for Busted Open, a must listen to, an emotional show where we talk about an amazing week and a sad week of professional wrestling. But as a community, we mourn together and we heal together with the passing of Brody Lee. We also had an exclusive, a Busted Open exclusive about our own Mark Henry. What a show, and I hope everyone listens, because Mark Henry dropped a bomb on where he may be this upcoming week.
But before Mimosa Minute, we had something that we always have on every show, and what was the best show of the week? And if you're not first, you're last. So we'll get into that, and we'll see you down the road. Busted Open on a Saturday with your morning host, Mark Henry, the world's strongest man and the innovator of violence, His Royal Highness, Tommy Dreamer. We're going to, man, like, we got calls, you know, we talked about the week that was. We want to make sure that, you know, we talk about the tribute show, reactions, and, you know, just some memories, you know, from Tommy and I. And I said it on Monday, as it relates to our lost brother, Brody Lee. All of my memories are like funny stuff, you know. And I told a story that when I found out he was going to AEW and he had kind of like got his feet wet and had a few, you know, establishing the vignettes and everything, I was like, man, good stuff, man. And he said, Mark, I have to stop you, like, in a real serious tone. And I was like, yo, what's up? And he was like, we still have hope for another world championship. And I'm thinking, wrestling, like, wow, good job, man. Like, man, that's awesome. And he said, no, I'm not talking about wrestling. He said, they have the World Cornhole Championships now. We can do this. Tommy, you started to get into the game in a little bit too, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Me and Christian for a long, long time. Christian was one of the first to bring a game console on the road, and we had many a war. We, of course, hid what we were doing because you weren't allowed to be, like, just stay in your room and play video games. But Christian and I had many a Madden. We like to call it the Denver, Colorado incident, where he subbed out. Oh, man, he was the Steelers, I was the Jets, and he subbed out Randall L. And for the quarterback, and he did a QB sneak and ran 99 yards on me and beat me with 1 second to go. And I literally took that controller, chucked it against the wall, and I turned to punch him. And that was the first time we ever, like, really almost went at it. And we just started cursing in a lovely red roof in Colorado.
You know what? I think that the term "born ass heels" was brought on by JBL when he started finding out that the boys were not going out anymore, that the boys were staying at the hotel, hang out in the lobby for a little while, and then go to the room and play video games. You just a bunch of boring ass heels, and that it just stuck. But man, the week that was definitely one for the ages. Tommy, is there something that stands out to you, like, you know, memories and moments that you had that it's kind of going to be the way that you'll always remember, Brody?
With Brody, man, I've known him. He was always a guy that I've known him since his indie days. You know, I first saw him in Chikara wrestling with Eddie Kingston, and then wrestling in CZW. And he was one of these guys that you'd always say he was going to make it just because of his size and his talent and his look. He had all those intangibles. I wrestled him a couple of times on the indies. And then one of the hardest parts about this is because we all celebrated his career. And I remember, like, when he got signed, everybody in the indies was so happy for him. And then when he did his stuff in you know, FCW, NXT, everyone is so happy for him when he gets called up and he's in this really cool group, the Wyatts. He, you know, you find out with all this that's going on, he was the leader of the Wyatts because two guys were very, very green. And the other guy, you know, Bray, was the one getting the bigger push. So he had to kind of be the glue that held it all together. And when I went back to feud with the Wyatts, and I said this too on the air, there was this one where I'm taking all the bumps and I'm taking all the crazy bumps. And I literally say, hey, you know, I'm the oldest person here. And Bubba, of course, in his Bubba Koresh ways, is just like, you don't even work here. And I was like, all right, yep, that's right. Nobody cares about me. And then Luke Brody was just like, I'll take it. They don't care about me either. And we were like celebrating in that. And he did. He took all the crazy bumps, you know. And ever since that, he's been my profile pic on my Twitter of us going off the stage on Raw through two tables. And, you know, then we worked. It was so almost surreal, and it was Bubba that put it up there. The Christmas loop we all worked. That was my last like run with WWE. We all worked together every night. You know, we're working Madison Square Garden 5 years on the 26th, the day that he passed. And I was just like, whoa, that really put like life in perspective. Cause you know, 5 years ago, we're having just this amazing time in front of all these fans, you know, making great money and having fun wrestling. And it was that Christmas loop. We did six men, eight men with Kane. Kane would wrestle Bray on some shows, and myself and the Dudleys, we would do run-ins on all that. And it was just like, you know, the really wow factor of, wow, 5 years ago, and this, I was sharing the same ring with this person on the day he's passed away, and now he's no longer there. And it just really, really hit you that, you know, how special life is. And for wrestling fans, and, you know, I know I speak for myself, we're always, the show goes on. And Brody was one of those guys who wanted the show go on. And you could see after the tribute, everybody would still be saying stuff. I laughed my ass off on MJF's tweet where he wrote, F that kid, because I'm Brody's son. And I was just like, you know, Brody would have loved that. He really would have. I tell Beulah all the time that she's lucky that I have daughters instead of boys, because they would have probably been, you know, 3D'd or put through a table by Bully Ray at like 13 just to do an angle somewhere.
Well, I tell you what, man, like, we're going to go take a quick break, and then we're going to come back. And we're going to go to the callers. So stay ready, guys. Don't hang up. I know you've been on hold for a minute, and we're going to give you your time when we come back on Saturday's edition of Busted Open.
Hey, everyone. This is Nicole Auerbach, and I want to invite you inside The Coach's Clubhouse, a brand new podcast from SiriusXM that examines what drives coaches on and off the sidelines. We talk to coaches from all different sports and all walks of life about their passion for the profession, their mentors, philosophies, and stories, and also what they care about when they're outside the spotlight. We'll give you a unique perspective on some of the greats in their profession, from Olympic coaches to Super Bowl champions and everyone in between. New episodes out every Wednesday on the SiriusXM app, Pandora, and Apple Podcasts.
And tonight we come together again to rage against the dying of the light, to celebrate a great human being whose legacy, I hope, inspires us all to be a little bit better of a person every single day, to appreciate the people we love around us every single day, to appreciate, stop and smell the roses every single sunset, every sunrise, every day. I know I will. Because every day is a gift, every day is special. And every day that I got to spend with Brody was just all the more special, and I'm grateful for that.
Wow. It was very good to hear John talk about his boy John. And
yeah,
that's what it sounded like. It didn't sound like it didn't sound like Moxley talking about Brody Lee. It sounded like John talking to John.
Absolutely. And, you know, the pictures where everyone's talking about and, you know, celebrating Brody's life, those two guys wrestled on the crappiest of indies and are tearing it up. And then they're on the biggest stage with working the Wyatts versus the Shield, where so many people kept referencing matches to watch of Brody Lee, and then to go out there and then to be able to tear it up with AEW together and have this big, big platform to show their body of work. They've been around for a long, long time together. And, you know, John is hurting, but he was able to articulate, and because it's from the heart, and whenever you're a part of that, or when you're at, I mean, awake or a service and you have your friends talking about it, you do want to laugh. You do want to just tell stories and just, you know, be that part of his life because you were such a big part of his life. And that's how he will be remembered. And trust me, man, from, you know, Tony Khan purchasing the rights to the song in perpetuity so he can show that video, and, you know, getting rid of retiring the title so his son could be the champion and Brody could be the champion forever and they'll get a new title. It's just those little nuances that everything done right. And the one thing I saw negative, and I just want to kind of touch it because I know you have your own perspective on it, was where people said, and Dave got upset about it, where WWE should have done more and WWE should have done this, that, or the other thing. Exactly. WWE, they did what they did, and there was a couple of ways that you could think about it because it's a no-win situation. Yes, WWE could have probably just, you know, cut a little promo, Corey Graves, or just say, hey, we lost Luke Harper, you know, this show goes out to him. That's one way you could look at it. It would have pretty much solved every person's issue. But if they would have done an entire show to Brody Lee, I know there would be so many people saying that they're exploiting someone's passing for ratings. And that's wrong because everybody was hurting. And I'm talking about everybody. You know, you could, people want to paint the WWE as this callous, not caring company. Yes, it is a big business and it is a caring, it on a surface can appear that way. And at times they do things like that. But they're also a very, very caring company. And I have seen, and I know Mark has seen them do things above and beyond for people. And they don't want credit. They don't want recognition. And I've said, I know people have paid for funerals for talents and all that stuff. So there shouldn't be any hate or ill will towards WWE. Also, bottom line, he did not work
he didn't there work there
currently. And
I thought it would have been disrespectful, Tommy, for the WWE to
do a
tribute show when he worked for another place where they are the ones that should have had the right to do the tribute to him. Like, for whatever reason, I think that it's still the whole wrestling. And everybody was sensitive at the moment. When you're emotional and you're in a sensitive place about what's going on, you can't make a rational decision because you're not in the right state of mind. And I think that's now everybody's calmed down, that I think that everybody is understanding of that and in the way that it was all presented. And
I also saw some people putting stuff out there like, oh, they just put it on digital and they put it on the website. And I'd be like, you know how many people will watch it on the website and how many more views it will, they get way higher ratings than Monday Night Raw. That you can't
hate
they
created
on this situation. This week or last week, Hall of Fame pitcher Phil Niekro died. Phil Niekro passed away. He's famous as an Atlanta Brave, though he played for other teams. I'm sure it would be recognized more in Atlanta than it was when he played, you know, 2 years at the Yankees or a year in Cleveland. It's just that's how it is and will always be. So don't hate on a situation like that, you know, because like Mark said, I understand it's touching and it's a touchy subject, but I thought Monday everybody did, you know, some great tributes because it's personal. You know, me to this day, I still wear polka dots on my pants. I wear polka dots on my pants to celebrate Dusty Rhodes so people can never forget Dusty Rhodes. And that's because he was my friend. I don't care what I look like in polka dots. If people say, oh, you're trying to bite off of Dusty Rhodes. And it's like, yes, I'm showing a tribute to him. So that is all I want to say on that. And there, we're wrestling fans. We shouldn't have this great divide between WWE and AEW. If you like one and don't want like the other, cool. Then don't, you know, watch the other. But for me, I watch frigging everything.
Yeah. And you know what, guys, like, I'm not going to make it a fight. And I'm going to tell y'all something. I want to go to Brandon in Atlanta in a second, but before we do, you should be happy that the WWE shows and does anything Brody Lee, because there's these things called royalties, and everything, he's going to get paid until the end of time. He's going to get those WWE royalty checks, and those are going to go to his wife and his kids. So let all of that stuff alone.
Hey everyone, this is Kirk Morrissey.
This is Greg McElroy.
And this is Nate Burleson. With the 2020 NFL season finally upon us, we're excited to announce 3 new NFL podcasts from SiriusXM.
On Total Coverage, we'll explore the hows and the whys behind the week's biggest results.
On Inside the Pocket, we will go under the helmet for all the quarterbacks in the NFL.
And on 17 Weeks, Jamal Adams, Emmanuel Sanders, and Eric Ebron will discuss the latest NFL stories straight from the locker room.
New episodes of all 3 podcasts will be available every week on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The landscape of pro wrestling is evolving, which means more options for fans.
So many activities!
What was the best show this week?
If you ain't first, you're last.
The week's over, so get over. This is the Busted Open Weekly Winner.
All right. Here we go. You heard the Imogene. Tommy Dreamer, the innovator of violence. Along with yours truly, the world's strongest man, on a Saturday morning's edition of Busted Open. Guys, we're here for the weekly winner. And I mean, for a change, you know, I thought Monday Night Raw stepped up. They did a hell of a job.
Big time.
It's been a while since, I'll go first, Tommy. I'm sorry. I jumped right into it because I was excited.
You're in the heat, bro. I'm selling for you. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, man. Keep selling, brother. Just keep selling. Just keep selling. Sell up on the ropes. I'll break it down. I thought Raw showed the world that they can do it when they want to, and I'm just hoping that trend continues for the rest of the month. We're in a new year, and leading up into the rest of the year. It can be done. Drew McIntyre is one of those guys that, regardless of where you put him, he shines. Everybody cares. At the end of that show, you had a cliffhanger that rivaled a lot of things that we've seen throughout the years on really strong television shows. I had friends of mine that called me and said, "Hey man, that was, you know, setting people on fire. That's pretty strong. You know, maybe we should stay away." And you know what? I heard both. I heard some people go, "Ooh, that was pretty strong. I like that." And then I heard people that said, "You know what, man? Like, burning a young girl. That sounds." I said, "Did it happen?" And it was like, "No." I was like, "But it was implied." And I was like, "You know what? There's a lot of things that are implied on television." But, you know, I saw a commercial the other day. A giant dragon was chasing a guy, and it ended up being a vaping commercial. You know, the dragon didn't get him because he decided no vaping for me.
Someone who has actually been on fire several times, there is a big difference between implied and actually going on fire.
Yes.
So let me just tell you that.
You know, I'll leave that conversation to you about when we get to it about people being on fire, because I'm not down for that, sir. But it was a really, really good show. And when you get to Wednesday and you have a tribute show like we had with AEW, man, I cried, I laughed, I was entertained. I wanted to, you know, it was good to see 10 get in the ring and do what I knew he could do alone. Seeing young Brody, you know, represent his father well. MJF just continues to be the best heel in pro wrestling right now. NXT was, and I'm kind of glancing over because I want to get to Tommy's thoughts, and I kind of have an idea of where I stand. But NXT was just dynamite, guys. I mean, it was a really, really good show. That we talked about it earlier. Rhea Ripley and Raquel Gonzalez, that was about as real of entertainment that I've seen in pro wrestling in a while. You know, I have to give a shout out to the big guys. You know, I love seeing Bronson Reed return and go into the match that he had with Swerve Scott. It was really, really good. And Leon Ruff and Johnny Gargano, they just did almost the impossible. You know, watching Karrion Kross in the way that he presented himself was spectacular, to say the least. And, I mean, you get to SmackDown, and what we saw last night on SmackDown was a really, really entertaining show. It's been that way for the last 2 months or more, maybe going on 3 months. It is kind of become the new flagship show of WWE program. And there have been some more battles between Friday Night SmackDown and NXT than there has been Friday Night SmackDown and Monday Night Raw. So this week was really, really good for pro wrestling. But I would have to give my weekly winner to AEW. The celebration, if you will, of Brody's life and his impending homegoing was one that I have to hang my hat on. I mean, I'm going to miss my brother, and I enjoyed watching everyone step up. People work. I guarantee you there were some conversations from the brass to the talent. Work like that every week. And Brody would want you to. Work like that every week, and your ratings would go up. You work like that every week, guys and girls, y'all will make more money. And speaking of guys and girls, the women did such a really good job on Wednesday on AEW. You had more fervor. You had more, I want to represent, and you did that. You shined. So, weekly winner, AEW. Tommy?
I'm in agreeance with you across the board. Monday Night Raw, strong showing, athletic matches, competitive matches, furthering of storylines. And yes, that cliffhanger, some people may not want to see that type of stuff, but to go off the air with it, I think was a cool move. If you're going to have your pure wrestling fans, you're going to hate it. But if you're going to have your compelling story being told, it's a hell of a way to go off the air. It really, really is. And it shined and it proved because I hate talking about them, but the ratings were up for Monday Night Raw. I agree with your assessment with Drew McIntyre. Phenomenal, phenomenal talent. And I can't wait to get out of this pandemic so we can see the butts in the seats to show what a great champion he is. Tuesday, Impact was a recap show with some further promos, so I really can't add to that. Wednesday, oh my gosh, Wednesday. I have not physically been able to watch or emotionally able to watch the AEW show, but everyone has been talking about, and from every clip I've seen, and I've seen a lot, they talk about perfection. And when you say there's a perfect show, that's very, very hard to do. And I've been a part of those emotional shows, and you know, it's they're hard for everybody, but again, to get through them. NXT, off the charts. If this wasn't a memorial show or a show to celebrate Brody Lee's life, NXT was, you need to go back and watch NXT. You're doing yourself a disservice as a wrestling fan not to watch this week's NXT. And then SmackDown, like you said, has been the flagship. I think WWE also has something that reminded me of a little the Attitude Era with this trio of Otis, Daniel Bryan, and Gable. They reminded me of Rikishi and Scotty Too Hotty and Brian Christopher, where anything can happen and you have this entertaining faction together with different styles. But man, there is something to those guys. I loved the Street Profits showing injury and the aggressiveness of Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler. They now have new t-shirts where they're giving themselves a new name, which is pretty cool. There's a lot on the horizon. And yes, the guy who's been carrying the flagship show, Roman Reigns, off the charts, if we're recapping everything. But yes, it has to go to, when I say a perfect show, it's a perfect show. And I told you what I watched, and I watched that ending video, the showing of people who worked in the WWE, showing him with, you know, the Wyatt family. And then why I know it was the weekly winner, and you had so many people within WWE, currently contracted wrestlers. They're not promoting or tagging AEW, but as soon as AEW ended, they wrote, "What a great show. Wow, what a great way to celebrate Brody Lee's life." they went above and beyond for saying that the other show was a great show. And so that it's my weekly winner as well. And again, from the lighting to the armbands to basically like saying, hey, his son booked the show. You don't have those things. And that realism, because everything was real about it, and having men cry, like you said, and women cry, and everyone being sad and breaking down. And that's what a wrestling community does. And that from that opening scene where everybody was on the stage to the heartfelt promos to everything on social media, definitely the weekly winner this week. And hopefully we don't ever have to have another show like that. But if there was ever a perfect way to celebrate someone's life, it is. It sucks because it was such a great show, but because of something that happened so tragic. But yeah, if I use a baseball reference, even though WWE was the first live gathering after 9/11, everyone talks about Mike Piazza's home run that helped the world heal through baseball after 9/11. So it's an amazing thing to have to go through because we need those things as our community grows.
Thank you, Tommy. Man, that was real. We both chose AEW. I think that a lot of the fans, we got people on we have callers still on. We'll get to them here in a second. But I just wanted to say that, you know, our guys on the boards, you know, said that Monday Night Raw, the ending and the way things transpired kind of reminded them of when, you know, that scene of Brian Pillman and the gun. Like that was the last time that they felt that way. And I see it. I mean, it gave you kind of the same type of feeling. But you know what, man? I think it stood on its own. It was a hell of a cliffhanger, and it was meant for TV. People are going to agree and disagree, but that's what this show is about. there's no concrete, you know, in this show. Like this is ever moving earth, if you will. I want to go on record right now saying that. Little Brody, I was talking to my son Jacob, and we always hung out a lot whenever it was WrestleMania or some of the Jewel events. Our families always sat together because Brody was little Brody was a big fan of mine, and I enjoyed hanging out with him and playing. And he and my son wrestled all the time, and Jacob would pick him up and twirl him around and stuff. And I'm hoping that, you know, we can continue to have that relationship with the family. So if anybody is in the family, I do not have his wife's phone number, and I would appreciate it if y'all could pass the message along to her to reach out to me on social media so we can continue to keep the kids wrestling. I know he's amateur, Brody's amateur wrestling, Jacob's amateur wrestling. There's a lot of camps and stuff that I'd like to invite him to. So we'll have a good time. But let's get back to some callers so we don't get in trouble with the being called a Dave.
No
LaGreca
in here.
No LaGreca in. Let's go to Steven in Philly, if you're still holding. If you're still on there, Steven.
Hello.
Steven.
There he is.
Yay. Hey, Mark. Hey, Tommy. How you guys doing today?
Good brother. Good. What's going on?
I was just calling in. Not too much, actually. I was just wanted to let you guys know. I'm a first-time caller, but I've been listening to your show ever since COVID started. Wrestling's been my thing. I'm 34 years old. I've been watching wrestling my whole life. I've watched you, Mark, since I've been growing up. Tommy, I used to go to ECW Arena. I watched you get thrown through five tables with Brian Lee over the stage when you had the one match. Yeah. I was there. I listen, man, I've been a huge fan of you my whole entire life. I love it. And, you know, I'm calling in because, you know, that Brody Lee passing the other day, when, what you just said, watching that AEW show really brought, like, struck home, because I'm a father. My son just turned 8 months today. And, you know, it made me feel like that's how you got to be a dad. And, like, it shows that you guys are such good people. You're not just wrestlers, that you guys are just family, man. You guys are just great people. And, you know, it's not just about wrestling. You guys have families that you take care of. And Tommy, I hear you talking about your kids all the time, and it brings tears to my eyes. Like, I've never cried during a wrestling show. I don't really cry much around wrestling, but let me tell you, that show struck home for me. And you guys have been a big help for me.
Well, thank you.
Well,
man.
Brother, thank you for calling. Don't let it be the last time.
Hey, everyone. This is Lisa Ann, and I'm here to tell you about my new podcast, The Lisa Ann Experience. This is my chance to share with you my experiences, past and present, including how I went from living in the fantasy world of adult films to talking fantasy sports on SiriusXM. Each week, I'll introduce you to some of the people I've met on my journey and invite friends on to help me read through the endless ridiculousness that lands in my inbox. New episodes are available every Wednesday on the SiriusXM app and Apple Podcasts.
We're on the home stretch with myself and the world's strongest, Mark Henry. How do you interrupt that song, man? I hate it. Must be hard being a real DJ. You just, like, you guys supposed to do all your inserts and let the music play. We're the opposite.
Yeah, we talk through our entrances, through our intros. We, like, hum along with it. I sing through most of the songs. But you know what, man? It's necessary. Like, you got to have a good time. If you sit around and dwell in the sadness the whole time, you're going to do yourself a disservice.
Well, you just popped me, and I just got a little bit of coffee through my nose there. So thank you.
Oh,
I love you.
Sorry, man.
That's a good bird. Woo. Wow. And that's,
well, I'll tell you, man, you're a football fan.
I'm an everything fan.
Listen, man, you know, we're in the mimosa minute.
All right.
My thing is the Cowboys, me and Jacob, we wanted the Cowboys to lose so we can get a high draft pick. And I know you're not supposed to cheer against your team, but they won 3 in a row. And now they have a chance to win another one this weekend. Even if they win, and the Washington Redskins, the Washington football team, if they win, then, you know, it was all for naught. We should have lost the 3 games. So I'm hoping that the Washington team loses, Cowboys win, and we go to the playoffs, and anything can happen from that point. Probably more the fact that we'll lose, but anything can happen, and it'll actually be worth it then, because you won the East and you got to go to the playoffs. So that's kind of like my thing. And I'm going to the reunion show on Monday. I will be there. You will see me, maybe.
Wow. Big busted open scoop.
Big scoop. And I got my personal assistant is going to be going with me.
What's up, everybody?
Jacob, what's going on?
What's up?
You're headed to Raw 2?
Yes, I'm going to be a special assistant.
Nice. That's a Busted Open exclusive. How old are you now, Jacob?
I'm 15.
Oh, my God. There's like 6 more years before you'd be putting me through a table somewhere like your dad, because I'll still be wrestling. I'm still stupid, but I'm sure... And I owe you a lot, because you're probably the most intelligent wrestling fan that I ever met since a little kid, man. You've been ingrained in this second generation World's Strongest. Well, you'll have fun at Raw. I know you will.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
To coax your dad out of retirement. Come on now. He's still coax young. Out of dye those beards. No. He'd dye those grays. He's back.
Yeah, possibly. I'll think about it. Grab the pink jacket somewhere.
Okay, now I got to take that. I got to take this. I got it. All right, Tommy, stop it. Yeah, see, I disappear for like 10 seconds, and you're already trying to put me back in the ring.
Just when you thought you were out, I'll drag you back in.
Hey, but you got it right. You know that I can't go to Raw with my beard gray like this. So today... I have to diet. because I know Vince will see me and go, you need to go see the makeup artist. Tell him to dye that thing.
I'll never forget. Horrible. We were in Boston and the Iron Sheik was in a wheelchair and being rolled around. He's in a wheelchair and I'm sitting there talking. All of a sudden he goes, oh, Tommy, quick, pick me up, pick me up. I pick him up out of his wheelchair and he's leaning with his cane. Here comes Vince. He's like, Sheik. He's like, Vince, how are you? They're having a lovely conversation. Vince walks away and I go, Sheik, you're able to stand? He goes, I'm a beat up, but you never know, another run. And I'm like, you're in a wheelchair. But he looked at me. He looked at me with all honesty. He's like, you never know.
You know what, Vince? One more run, brother.
You're in a wheelchair. You can't have another run. You have gray hair. You can't have another run, Mark.
You never know, man. I mean, you know.
If you really think about gray
hair. I said I was going to wrestle this year.
I will put you in a figure four because I know you have a leg infection. I'm going right after it.
Oh, wow. What a horrible human being. God, Tommy.
I'll bite your infection and suck it out.
I hate to bust your bubble, but the infection is gone.
Yes. See?
Yeah.
A good thing for 2021.
2021 is on the rise, baby. I get this cast off in 3 weeks, and I'll be kicking people in the ass with it.
Well, I told you straight up. I told everyone you have gout. So I started that rumor. Sorry. I'm one of those bad people that like to stir it up. I apologize.
I don't have the gout, but.
Too much shellfish for the world's strongest man.
No more red meat. No more shellfish. I turned into Julius from Everybody Hates Chris.
Nice.
The gout.
Well,
what are you watching, man? Goodbye. You said Cobra Kai is the thing.
Cobra Kai, and for everyone, the Sweet Daddy Siki documentary is on Amazon Prime. You really got to watch it. David Arquette, Hard to Kill Him, is on Amazon Prime. There's a lot of really good stuff.
You can't kill David Arquette.
So go to watch your college football bowl games today. Watch some Cobra Kai. Enjoy life. Go Giants. And that's it for me. I love you guys.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.